This is John McGuire, and you are listening to part two of Always Record, episode 164, Ben Gore. Space again, because it gives me another chance to talk about something that's trivial to everyone, but I like the little thing that I found. During the Sync Summit, Patrick's question was, are there sharks in space? Something really stupid. How the hell could a song answer that? So I appreciated it, but I had just left... Well, no, why did I appreciate it? Was I had just left off in a Timothy Leary book, Info Psychology, and... I'll just read this one page. It's like he's basically talking at this point in the book about the evolution of like our neuronal circuits and moving into the higher circuits towards space travel. So basically this is all about space, or that's the goal of it, or that's the tone of it. And he's talking about our evolution at a certain stage, stage two. And he compares us to a shark. It's really, he says, in species evolution, stage two is the muscular, bony marine organism, equipped with a multi-neuron system capable of memory, integration, and evaluation of stimuli, and capable of attack approach in addition to ingest approach. In individual development, stage one is the neonate after the first imprint has been formed, thus able to distinguish between the basic safe maternal and the basic dangerous non-maternal. The Aries is classically described as a young, immature zodiac sign. This reflects the self-directed, infantile driving nature of stage two. The Ram, however, is not the correct genetic sign. The Aries is in its playful moods a merman or mermaid, and in her aggressive moods a shark. The attitude is ventral dorsal, whereas stage one organism can only receive or flee using amoebic pseudopod flow. The stage 2 organism is capable of selective aggressive, biting, stinging behavior in addition to sucking, incorporation, and digestion. The stage 1 amoeboid organism has not yet developed a polar asymmetry. The stage 2 organism has evolved to an asymmetrical polar structure, usually with a head and a foot. The nervous system is a simple net that is densest in the head region. This polarity is not oriented to a gravity-determined vertical dimension, but a forward-backward dimension. Differentiation into cell types has occurred. The human infant is the neurological equivalent of a marine organism. The vegetative circuit of the infant imprints the basic reality, the first attachment of the organism to the environment. This stage is personified as the zodiac Aries, the tarot Magus, and the Olympian Neptune. But anyway, that's the short little part on it. And so yes, Patrick, there are sharks in space, to answer the question. And I think I told him that, but I'm reiterating that just so to remind him. Because that's awesome.
We're all sharks, essentially.
Essentially, it's in all of us. I mean, that's why totems exist, and that's why the totem has always been a thing in human existence. Like, we respect the animal's closeness to source, and we want to be them. We want to go back to the oceanic experience, and that's always what it's about, whether you're a fish or a fucking whatever. I mean,
It's a natal thing for us. I mean, we were in that sort of salamander state in the womb.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
The saline type of, you know, pulsating, rhythmic, you know, very comfortable, warm and cozy, everything very harmonic. All of our environment is, you know, mediated and regulated by an external force. We don't have to worry about it. Yeah, all that, I mean... I don't know, maybe our water's about to break in space, though. Maybe we're trying to bust out of there. I don't know.
Yeah, so what do you think we'll find there?
Man, I think it's going to be some weird Ouroboros thing where we find ourselves somehow. Like, we're going to look out and, like, we're inside our own selves, and it's going to be, it'll be a weird thing.
So you have hope for, like, the going is, like, going far out externally will bring us back in, to looking at ourselves. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I do. And I have this weird sneaking suspicion. I don't know. Ever since I saw thermal imaging cameras, I saw this TV program one time where, like, somebody had their hand down on a table and then they took it away. And, like, a few minutes later, they took a video of the same spot and they could see the handprint just by the heat signature still. And I had, like, it didn't occur to me that there were, like, such subtle degrees of sensitivity. Like, we just don't have instrumentation to read what the hell is really going on. So, I don't know. Like, when I look out and, like, they say we're light years away from things and we'll never be able to get there because of the speed of light or whatever, it's like maybe, like, what we're seeing in either direction is just traces of the same thing. And it's just, like, leaving its footprint in various, like, you know, I mean, if something looks fuzzy because it's at a certain distance or something like that, it's just, like, the demonization of just the dissipation of whatever, you know, radioactivity or whatever, I mean, in whatever band of the spectrum it would be in. I don't know how we would even attempt to read that type of thing.
Right.
But I mean, I feel like our conception of just life in general, like, we don't know what the hell is going on with life at all. We don't know why we're even having this experience. And some people are trying to figure it out real hard, and that's cool. Like, I mean, I love bumping into people that do. And I think everybody has the internal experience. It's just like, I don't know, I think it's way trippier and needs to be kind of the subject of conversation more often and have to live the experience instead of, like, having it be everybody's own private mystery. Like, people need to be like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, with life, why the hell is this going on? People still, I mean, there's whole God arguments or whatever, but, like, beyond that, it's like, we're having this experience undeniably. Like, it, you know, evolution or whatever, it's like, why the hell, you know? And that, like, it's just so sacred of a time we have here. Pettiness usually is just, like, unbearable to me. Yeah. It's like, I get accused of, like, having a stoner demeanor or something. I don't get too enthused. I don't get too, you know, depressed. It's just, like, you know, monotone. Like, oh, is nothing a big deal to you? It's just, like, everything is so damn petty.
Yes.
It's like, I don't have to be tripping to have a good time, but I have to be in that mind state. It's like somebody's got to be bringing stuff to my attention. It's like correlations between things. It's like, you know, oh my goodness, like I never saw that. But everything you hear in just casual conversation between people is the obvious, safe, conformist conversation matter. And it's like, it gets unbearable. It gets really, like, I mean, not actually unbearable, just like figuratively and dramatically unbearable. I'm just being, you know, petty problems.
No, you're being honest.
I was about to say first world problems, but it's, I mean, we're fucking third world only.
First world sensibilities with second world realities.
Right.
And
yeah.
One of my favorite authors is Charles Eisenstein, and he wrote a great book called The Ascent of Humanity. And it's part biography, part just philosophy, part science. It's really good. It's a good synthetic work. And he's a good synthetic thinker, meaning he brings things together and sews them together in a beautiful way and is extremely humane, unbelievably humane. Like, I hate calling people saintly, but he's not. But it's just, yeah. He's so, so, like, guided by his heart. It's really impressive. And anyway, he was just talking about his life in the suburbs and, like, what that meant for him when he had, like, a lot of money and, like, or even if not a lot of money, it was just, like, the company he kept, just normal people, which is, like, honestly, on the spectrum, because we're monkeys, like, to imitate each other. Yes, yeah. You know, people are imitating each other, let's face it. So, yeah, I could be dealing with someone with more money, but it does. So many people are, like, in that way. And he's just, like, he got burned the fuck out. It's, like, there was nothing to complain about in his life in a sense, but there was everything to complain about, too. It's like, that's what's so fucked up about the world. It's like, the people that have everything still have nothing. And the people that have nothing, except, like, a more, I don't know, just, like, maybe more appreciation for, like, the small things because they have so fucking little and we don't appreciate anything.
We're always at a deficit to infinity. I mean, we don't know the limitation out there, and it's like, it's not that I don't have enough or that, like, it needs to be better to some sort of, like, finite, like, utopia. It's the sense that, like, you know, no matter how hard we try, we can always try harder. It's like, even if I'm doing better, nothing makes me happy a lot of times, because it's like, there's just always something else and something more, and like I think our general expectations about our life experience needs to be that. And so many times, talk about dichotomies, it's like I've been trapped in the same, like, 9-to-5 type of situation, just like showing same routine, driving the same routine in the morning, doing the same thing, working in the same office for like 15 years. And it's like, I potentially could do that for the foreseeable future. I mean, I don't know, unless they stop me or something. And it's like, you know, that's forfeit. It's like, to get by and to pay bills, it's forfeiting the actual experience that, like, I want to be having, that I know I need to be having. And it's like a personal battle. But, like, even every day showing up to that place, it's like I consume so much material trying to get a better understanding. It's like a lot of people I bump into, they're trying to talk to me about their dogs, and that's valuable, and it's what makes them feel good or whatever. But, like, try to bring up any subject matter about, like, you know, the Silk Road or something about, like, mining fusion fuel off the moon or something, like, super science driver that would be an alternative to war, that would actually spur the economy, that would actually maybe be a way out of this mess. And people are just, they're so instant gratification. It's like, well, what can I do right now? And it's like, no, it's a sustained effort. It's like, it's a change of attention and a change in perspective. It's a weird thing.
Well, the war, like, war has to stop. I don't even know exactly that's right. True, because it's like, that's a big deal. And so what you're saying is resonating with me. It's, yeah, because I think space travel is, like, I'm more than guilty of this, and, like, sometimes rightfully, but sometimes wrongfully, for sure, I call it trivial. It's like, why are we focusing on space? We have all these shitty problems here. But when you think of it, like, if we put that, why don't we just take it and put it into the space, you know? It's just, like, maybe not all of it, but it's, like, you can take a huge chunk of it and, bam, you cut out the military budget. That's a great idea, just, like, moving it from somewhere to somewhere that's actually productive. And yes, it doesn't solve our problems per se, but it's like, it would make, motivate people and eliminate the suffering. And as long as there wasn't that suffering being created, we could build ourselves up from that, and people can recover. But it's like, the war constantly is killing people and creating this resentment and tension and, like, fear, guilt. Oh my God, the guilt.
It's insane. Oh, huge guilt. The thought of plentifulness is, like, impossible. It's like, oh, I better get the little scraps that I can get. Like, you're lucky to have enough. Like, be grateful you have a job. It's like, the thought of plentifulness, or the thought of, like, having enough for everybody, seems impossible, because we're in this designed degeneration monetary system. That's like, by design, there's not enough. Like, humanity multiplies. The monetary system, especially if it's kept private, it's like, how can interest rates be reaped privately? That's such a crime. It's like, if banking and if credit cards are going to have, like, 30% interest, why doesn't the Treasury do it and at least put the money back in fucking education or something?
Right.
Like, seriously, I mean, it's that basic, and the people... I mean, people said right when the Federal Reserve was enacted that if people knew how this worked, there'd be a revolution overnight. It's like, people know what it is a scam. And it's like,
I mean, it's what we were talking about, old timey America, which, yes, has a shit ton of problems, but like you said, every place did. But let's face it, like, I did get some things right, and we were on the right track in certain ways. And yes, that spirit of America is gone. What we were getting right is largely gone, unfortunately.
Yeah, and we could go to space. We could bridge the Bering Sea gap. I mean, there's maps going back to 1890 where governors in America were planning the infrastructure project to bridge North America and Asia. This was back during President McKinley era. And they murdered him. And Teddy Roosevelt took office. And he took basically put the entire nation into national parks and conservation. Hmm. And it's just like the entire Western.
I did not know that. Very
interesting. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's another big part of why Mount McKinley was renamed Denali, and they're trying to wipe history, like totally do a whitewash on it. And it's a longer story, but I mean,
Mount Denali was renamed, or what? What was that about Denali?
Yeah, Mount McKinley, the highest peak in America, it was renamed Denali, because I guess that was its original name, and President Obama, one of his executive authorities. He's like, no, it's not Mount McKinley anymore. It's Denali. And it was a big, PR thing about like giving back to the natives, and it's, you know, taken back from the conquering forces. But really what McKinley was an early death for a president that was about to bridge the Bering Sea gap. Hmm. And it was going to be a continuation of like, the Trans-Siberian Railroads were built on the Transcontinental Railroad model in America. And it worked so well in both continents. It's like, what if we bridged both continents? And it would have just unleashed economic prosperity that they couldn't control in terms of the empire, like the British Empire and the banking forces that have been controlling this place. I mean, at least since they murdered Lincoln, maybe early.
Yeah. So they were going to connect the bridge where in America?
The Bering Strait.
Okay.
In Alaska, there's not much of a gap there. The water's shallow. I think they want to actually do it by tunnel. But the high-speed commercial freight and, you know, passenger freight or passenger rail lines.
All these brilliant ideas have been out floating around for so long. There's so many solutions. That's another thing that gives me hope, Ben, is there's a ridiculous number of solutions. Like you said, wouldn't it be awesome and freakish if they abused federal power for the good, for the public good somehow? It would just like not make sense, but it's like, they could be used for that. It really just fucking, they could throw the money out to the people in all kinds of creative ways, but they just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Like any viable, productive endeavor should be funded. Like it's only a depreciating monetary system that's based on like some sort of, I mean, it's a fiat currency now, but I mean, it's a limited resource mentality.
Yeah.
It's not a future oriented mentality. It's like, what happened in the past? You owe me. Not like, oh, you're going to do this in the future. Pay me back when you get it. Like it's a, you owe me both ways, but it's like, you're actually enabling the person to generate the money to pay you back. Mm-hmm. Instead of just getting them in debt, putting an interest rate on them, extorting them basically into like being underwater for their whole life. And it's like, there's so many storefronts that are for lease. I mean, almost every, like, I mean, I was shocked by the homeless in Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's so much stuff that could be, I mean, there's so much unemployment and so poor quality of life. It's like, just rebuilding the school system, let alone the airports and the rail system, it would just be so much work to, it's just like, is the culture ready for it? Do people actually feel like they could do a job? Like, I'm not sure, like most people have some sort of like social media, I'm going to invest in Facebook or I'm going to invest in Twitter mentality. It's like, no, like the economy is hard labor and it's actually like being productive. Like, I don't know. They might have to conscript people for that. I could see that happening. Like, some military-style draft for labor. I don't know how else it's going to get done.
Well, that's another problem, because we are... I'm one of these people. I'm an incompetent person that knows how to record my voice on a small microphone and post it on a website on the internet. That's what I do. Yeah. And I handle cash. I'm a cashier, and I play cards. I mean, it's like, I'm not a survivalist. I'm one of these people, and it's like, we're made to order, man. The people that can do nothing and push paper. And that's a real problem. It's like, because I think the economy is a slow burn. I don't think it's like we're going to crash quite like the Soviet Union. I think it's a different time, and it's like, there's different things in place to not it's not an allowing to happen. It's like we're a convenient puppet. The United States is a convenient puppet, and the way it works is working for everybody, so there's a lot of interest in keeping it going.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And I'm forgetting where I was going with that again. But the long short is it's like we need more people that are feel competent and are competent. And I know I strive to be competent. Like, even at the trivial things I do, it's important for me to have that mastery of something. And I know just this is a great transition into your art, Ben, because it's amazing. And for anyone that doesn't know who you are and what you do, it's like ridiculous that we're just getting into it. But you do really, really amazing origami work. And it's just, you run the gamut. You sent me a great package full of these things. I think I have 8 of them. 2 of them made out of tin cans, or one is cigarette packages or cigarette packages.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And they're fucking amazing. And you do amazing work. And like, at the very least, like, yes, maybe what we do isn't putting food in people's mouths, but it's putting something in their heads, and it's like putting something in their hearts. And that is what we need more than ever, too.
Oh, totally. Oh, totally. And I appreciate those words. I mean, I like to just, I try to put that just in people's daily lives, just so they can, like, but subconsciously, I guess, I don't know, something, have it sink in. Because I give them out a lot for free. Any kid, basically, that shows interest, they gravitate to them. I'll just be like, have one, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, because you can't really find stuff like that around, really.
No.
I mean, sacred geometry and stuff is popular, but, like, material objects, it's like, it embodies a lot of time, and it embodies a lot of precision. And people see, like, that's some things take time and precision. Everything's not instant gratification. And it's just like little, you know, indirect things like that is what my purpose is for them. I like having that be a little thing. It's like my hidden meaning behind it, really.
Sure.
It's like it obviously takes a lot of time and effort, but like, I don't know, like a lot of people that interact with them don't, it's not as obvious to them, but you know, they see it, but it's like, they don't know what they like about it. It's just like, whoa, that's cool. And it's like, they'll get contemplating about it, and they'll get to thinking, even if it leaves, I mean, I don't want everybody to copy and start doing origami or whatever, but, I mean, it'll lead to just a investment in higher orders of things instead of just such instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm guilty like the rest of instant gratification, but like, there's a lot of things I've been very disciplined about and persistent about over like extremely long periods of time, like in pursuing lines of thought and rabbit holes that I'm sure lead somewhere, that, you know, it's not for no reason that I'm following the trains of thought. And it's like, a lot of people give up and they're like, oh, you know, the story's so deep, or there's so much history, or there's so much to it, I'm never going to know. But it's like, if you don't try, you're definitely never going to know.
Right.
And it's like, as a 33-year-old that's like, you know, basically giving away his youthful years to like being some hermit, just like in some, you know, weird trip, you know, it looks like, man, you know, shouldn't you be out like having fun or whatever? But I mean, by the time I'm in elder years where I should be, you know, maybe an elder statesman amongst humanity, it's like, I'd like to have things going on in my head that are like, you know, evident of years past, and not just like, you know, oh, I love football and, you know, whatever. I mean, I watch football. It's just like, that's what I don't get. It's like, I watch all this. I watch a lot of movies. I love talking about the culture, and I just don't understand how people don't perceive it in a way that, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, that there's a way that you can perceive it. Yeah, and it, you know, you can get insights from all sorts of things, and it's just like, I'm stacking them up cumulatively and trying to be as interdisciplinary as possible. Like I love talking to people that are well-read, because, like, I'm not, like, up until the 20th century, that was how things were conveyed primarily, and I mean, that's still, like, the most important, like, valid form of media, but, like, you know, the most authoritative, like, referenced form of media. But the ideas are primary, and we're all talking the same language, We just gotta like get deeper into what, you know, the extent of the damn language. Because everybody else, you know, emojis, and they're limiting our language at this point. And it's like the way out is to get more complex, not to get more simplified. And it's
just, well, that's an interesting question. Like, so we're talking about dichotomies, and maybe this is one where it breaks down a little bit, because I'm very much into like systems theory and complexity theory. Yeah. And just like your origami, complexity is all, it's found this intense paradox where it's like these systems that they study, organisms are the most evident example. They're highly complex, highly interconnected. We cannot figure out how the mind works. We will never figure out how it works. So on and so forth. We are strange attractors. We're beyond like the scope. But at the same time, there's very, very, these simple rules and these simple programs built into how we're, you know, constructed and where we come from. It's like the universe is built into us in these super simple ways, these ones and zeros. It's why people have come around to the idea that, you know, the universe could be a quantum computer, whatever the fuck that means. It's like, no, the quantum computer is the universe. It's not the other way around. Don't you get it? It's right, like the universe isn't any of these things. We're all the universe. The universe is not us. It's all backwards. Right.
The quantum computers we're trying to create is like a simulation of what the actual expression is.
Yeah.
It's like we try to equate our inventions like it's primary. Oh, the universe is what we made. It's like, no.
it's so absurd. And I see more and more how like all of our ideas are from source, you know, and it's like we've received everything. Like, all the reasons I'm interested in science, I see the archetypes and all of it. It's part of who I am, so even though science, I fucking know it's just, like, a sellout industry and just pimps itself out to the military-industrial complex and sells chemicals to dump on people. or just, like, to tell people what it's like, that there is no God. Not that I believe in God, per se, but it's, like, just kill your curiosity and spirituality or whatever, like, connects you to Earth and to other people. Just let it go, because it's irrational. And I'm totally rational, because I'm voting conservative and not even talking about the peace movement. Like, that's normal. Like, that's normal. Like, that's logical. Fuck you. Fuck them. But I love science. I hate the institution of science, but it's like, it helps me in so many ways. And I see, and I know enough about it. I don't need to know all the fucking math to know what science is and what it means to me. And it's just like, it's speaking the story of our inner landscape. That's all it is. We're talking back to ourselves, and it's what gives us comfort. And all these ideas are, you know, they're true to some sense. It's like, these things can exist side by side. So I appreciate, like, because I'm a complexity person too, but I like the beauty and the simplicity sometimes, and I don't always hate it. And I think things have their place, and it's like, we can't always fit everything into one whole, per se.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't always be in complexity, but I mean.
But too much is simple. I get what you're saying, like, superficial. It's a tolerance thing. Yeah, go on.
No, it's a tolerance thing. Like, the more you do, the more you're capable of dealing with at any given time. So it's like when you're called to visit it, at a snap point in time when you weren't expecting to have to exercise that type of complex thought. It's like, you can apply yourself and you can do it. It's like, some people, it's like feats of physical strength. It's like, you hear about people, amazing feats of strength under crazy conditions, like lifting cars off of babies and stuff. And it's like, you know, if that's what we're hoping for in terms of our political fate, like somebody just a miraculous, like, snap out of it and like start doing the right thing, like an equivalent in a psychological feat of strength. It's like, it doesn't happen that way. It's like, it actually takes like repetitive, complex, dealing with complex things to where like you can just look at a situation and see right through it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you can go back to watching football or whatever. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like, because some people have tried to convince me that, oh, you're just different or something. And it's like, well, if you lead me down that road, that's like the Nazi superhuman road. Like, you want me to feel different and then do well for myself and then come back for you? Like, I'm trying to lift every, like, I don't even want to be out of this mess if we don't all get out of it together. Yeah. So it's like, you know, if you're waiting on me to save the day, it's like, actually, we got to save the day. I'm not, like, if I save the day, I'm saving my day and I'm getting the hell out of here. Like, I'll go live in there, you know, I'll get there, I'll kiss their ring or whatever and be part of their system. It's like it's like, or we fight the system. Like there is no either or. Like it's either or. It's like you succumb to, like, it's a personal decision. And people work for different institutions, different corporations. I give tons of credit for people that have their own hustle and can seriously make it off of, I mean, most of what I know is artists, but, you know, I hear of other people freelancing, doing other things, and it's like, I mean, the grind to do all the networking and all the relationship building and to have the trust in yourself and to secure lines of credit and to incur bad luck and move through it and just like everything, you know, when at any given time you could just be like, you know what, I'm going to take a paycheck. I'm going to like go in and deal with contradictions and hypocrisies and I'm just going to subdue myself and just do whatever I need to pay the bills. It's like I give tons of credit to the people that are like, you know what, I don't know what it's going to take to pay the bills, and I might fuck around and actually blow up. I might be like a success in life. And like that's the general spirit everybody, I think, want. That's like the American dream, but nobody has the courage to achieve it or to even try to pursue it. And I know a handful of people that do, and it's like, it's amazing. It's really amazing. But, like, in terms of having it be widespread enough to be actual quote-unquote grassroots, to spread to be thick enough to actually sustain, it's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I fear for those people. I fear for those people that hustle their ass off, because it's like, at any given time, a regulation can be changed or taxes can be upped. Or it's such a controlled game without taking it down top down.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't have a mutiny bottom up without actually assuming the roles of power, which is incumbent on us anyways. Like, they act like they're entitled to the offices, like the Ivy League and all those people. Like, it's a foregone conclusion.
Right.
They have the fundraising machines, and they have the jurisdictions. They know, they do the gerrymandering, and they can do whatever they want to do. It would take such a majority of us to get our act together at any one time to take a majority of their seats to have any effect. It's just like, you know, subcommittee by subcommittee, they just like partition it off and divide and conquer because we can't get enough critical mass ever. But that's the only solution. And it feels like a willful slavery almost when a person doesn't capitulate to the control structure. Because I could try like climbing the ladder and making six figures or, you know, whatever would make me quote unquote comfortable, whatever wouldn't make my stomach churn when I watch the mind control media shit. But, like, you succumb to a slave mentality as an alternative because, like, I don't want to be that guy driving around all secure in my white collar and looking around at everybody like, man, if only you could succeed. Or, hey, brother, you can do it like I did. It's like, I'm not trying to get everybody to live in Orwellville. Like, that's hell on earth. It's like, I'm not trying to do it myself. It's like, can't we have an alternative? Because that's what it is, really. It's like an Orwell Jonestown. It's like telescreens and just microphones and cameras. Not even the audio, audible and visible type. It's like sonar. I don't know if you've seen the Batman with the sonar, when they turned on the sonar in the city. Dark Knight, I think it was. Yeah. They just like take everybody's cell phone signals and use it like a sonar device to map the city in real time.
Okay.
Like not visually, but like it's like a CAD outline. And that's what I'm talking with augmented reality. Once they really kick that into high gear, it's like there's no difference if they've already got everything mapped anyways, and they can just overlay whatever they're trying to see. If they know a disturbance is happening, they could probably, like, you know, have a door actually open, like the actual facade of the door open with the CAD of the door. I mean, it's all just program or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, and nobody's got their cell phone off, so that sonar is going on everywhere at all times. And I don't know. I don't know. It's Orwell to, on a secretive level, to where it's not so overt to scare us, you know, to where we'll still do stuff that we wouldn't do on camera. And I think it's fucked up. It's so like.
Oh, it's fucked. It's fucked up. But at the same time, like, I think at least a lot of people that are active in this community and people we have conversations with, either inside or outside of it, we found ways to find some beauty and satisfaction amongst it. Because it's like, yeah, I mean, I wish I could just, like, support myself on what I love to do, but I don't. It's like, I work a regular job, slinging corporate shit, and it's like, what the fuck is this? Pretty pointless. But I found a niche where it's like, at least I'm allowed meditative time, and I don't necessarily have someone hanging over my shoulder, and so on. So it's like, you know, how are you finding your niche in this sort of, like, fucked up world? Because it's like, you have to survive a bit. Like, you don't need much, necessarily, but yeah, we all have to compromise that way. By and large, it's like the cost of independence right now. It's like, you have to pay to live. It's fucking insane. And there's, you know, yeah, homelessness is a problem where I am, but at the same time, it's like, people are more compassionate here in ways. It's not like, I mean, they're still assholes, but they're a bit more compassionate and better. But it's still a problem. It's like, why are these people even out on the fucking street to begin with? It's tough. But anyway, because I always feel like, oh, I'm one step away from that. What would I feel like then being in their situation? No one's, like, giving me the fucking time of day, or I would get so bitter. I would get so fucking bitter, and I'd be drunk all the time too, probably.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. And it's so delicate. I mean, I would expect us, we don't really have that many options practically at this point. Like, it is so far gone. It's nothing we should, like, lament or be, like, feel guilty. Like, oh my God, there's nothing I can change immediately right now. Like,
right.
Like, when history comes all crashing into the present, it can seem so abrupt and be like, oh my God, like, it's a pressing situation and make you feel like you need, like, to make up for all that lost future that's been stolen, like, today, and be like, oh my God, it should be so much far more further advanced than this, like, you know, and it can be overwhelming, but I mean, people need to have more love for themselves too, and be, I mean, myself included, I get hard on myself, and it's like, it's not my fault per se, you know, it's like, we are subjected to a lot of things. It's just, once you see that, it's like your every intention should be to stay in that mode. And you can't be like, oh, man, maybe I'm a prisoner, and then go into, well, maybe not. It's like, no, like, really think that through and figure out, like, are you or aren't you?
And how do you use that? Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, everything. Just the blind obedience and the going with what everybody says, and or not speaking up. Or when a person speaks up that says something abnormal, don't invest yourself in shooting them down just to keep the conformity. That's the one I don't understand. It's like, everybody knows it's a hostage crisis, but, like, if I speak up and say something in polite company that's not quote unquote supposed to be said, it's like, can we get back to normal as quickly as possible? And it's like, I'm not doing it at, like, a kid's birthday party or anything. No. It's like, I'm doing it, like, in office conversation. I hear conversations about dogs all day, so I wanted to bring up something relevant. And it's like, don't do your best to try to restore normalcy. It's like, I don't understand. It's like, we're never going to get anywhere. And that's like, I know they know what I'm saying is relevant, and they may be curious. They may even know deep down, oh my God, some of the dangers he's saying are actually true and clear and present. But it's like, I don't know. It's like, if an asteroid was coming to the Earth, would you want to know about it, or would you want just nobody to tell you about it?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be an actual asteroid out there. It could be, like, our intention to degenerate. It's like, would we want to know that maybe our consequences for how we've been living the past 2-3 generations in America may be, like, the land area we've been calling America is going to get taken over by a more forward-thinking, progressive people? And we'll be subcontracted out if we're still even competent enough to do a task? And it's like, I mean, with automation, there's so many wild cards out there, and it's like, it's just like, man, I really hope people are, I mean, I don't know, anybody possibly listening to this program is well familiar with anything. It's like, if anything, hopefully, like, I'm saying this to vent and to cope. Hopefully people can empathize with, like, my struggle a little bit, because it's like, I don't have hatred for people. I want people to come with us. I want, like, the future to happen. But it's like, nostalgia-holics in, like, we haven't had a new decade since, like, maybe the 90s. It's like it's been recycled, 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 recycled.
It has been, half my life has been recycled culture, and I notice for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't help that, like, a company can own the IP for, like, immortality, and nothing gets to be public domain anymore, so there's not, like, would there have been a Looney Tunes or a Disney if they couldn't have used the symphonies from past IP?
Right, yeah.
And it's like, what I like about hip-hop, David's videos, for Christ's sake, that should be in a goddamn theater.
Mm-hmm.
That should be on, like, the director's cut of Knight of Cups or something. It should be, like, a bonus feature in not something you got to hide from copyright police on the internet. It's like culture would blossom if we were allowed to blossom. So I'm not, like, you know, too hard on humanity. I love people, but, like, man, there's only so much road rage you can encounter and so much, like, trying to hold a door for somebody and they, like, intentionally use the other door. And it's like, I know everything's bitter, you know, but how does that make things better?
Mm-hmm.
It's really pretty, at a certain point, it makes you slap happy and you get mouthy because it's like, well, you know, what does it matter at this point anyways? But it's like, I don't know.
And you give in and your personal momentum is important to the process. Like, cause none of us think we're powerful enough to change anything. So yeah, it's easy to give in because it's like, what's the point? What's the point of fighting off the inclination to just, like, basically give this person the finger and, like, go on with my life? Because that stays with you. It's like, yeah, maybe you're comfortable doing that. Maybe that is part of your persona to be confrontational or whatever. But it's like, it slowly kills you. It turns you into something that's not conducive to a good society. And totally. So it's just like, that stuff eats away at you one little piece at a time. So you have to be careful about it, and you just sort of have to eat shit when other people are being mean to you, or you snap and you're mean back, because we're only human, and I do it too.
Yeah. That's one of the most dangerous things I think happening right now is this police, you know, are they good, are they bad debate in society. It's like, you know, whatever they're showing on the media or whatever the reality actually is, it's like people have to come to some sort of terms with some sort of public law enforcement. Because otherwise, it's literally going to be like gangster squads doing neighborhood enforcement and people paying tolls on corners, and it's going to be like no man's land. Because that type of attitude of just like getting kind of lippy, maybe flipping somebody off, is once people start to hear like gunshots in the street and no sirens, it's going to be like fucking hell on earth. And the media is kind of trying to push it that way. It's kind of, I watch a lot of mainstream news just to kind of see what they're saying to people. And I don't know.
It's true, man. Look, here's the truth. We do live in a society where people are kind of monsters. We've built a zoo where we've starved enough of the animals that it's like there's hell to pay, man. And the current way things are, Wilhelm Reich says this often. He's like, you just give people freedom or whatever that means to run their own affairs, and they don't know what they're doing with it yet. Because they're too fucking mutated, period. And that's, we're all in that boat, okay? But, like, again, some of us can talk about it, and some of us can. Some of us are more conscious about it, and some of us aren't. So, just to hand over that means nothing, to, like, just let's eliminate police, and that'll be better. No, it won't, because, like, there's so, that is holding things together, even if it's a fucked institution, which it is, and I want to move towards a society where we don't need it, but there's other things that need to be discussed. Like, that is escape. It's both a very serious issue because people are getting fucking brutalized pointlessly because cops are stressed beyond belief, even though their budgets are very large and they're well paid and so on. They're dealing with violence a lot and they're paranoid as fuck and they think people are against them. Everyone's angry and paranoid of each other. That's bad too. That's really bad too. And it's like, of course there's good people, like a lot of good people working as officers and military people or whatever, but there's a lot of fucking bad people, and the institution themselves are so bad that it's, of course, we're inclined to paint everyone with a broad brush, right? But
totally.
It's like society, we're not ever, all the libertarians, like, I'm half socialist, I'm half libertarian. You can't have one without the other. I'm sorry. All the fucking libertarians that want to just abolish everything are morons, because I wouldn't want half of them as my neighbor. I wouldn't want probably 90% of the Libertarian Party as my neighbor, because they're douchebags. I hear most of them talk, and they don't know what the hell they're talking about. And this is for the 10% of libertarians that are listening that I'm sure are smarter than the rest. Like, all extreme ideologies are stupid, period. And libertarianism and, like, state socialism is also stupid. I'm not a statist. I'm an anti-statist, but I think socialism never needed a state, which is what anarchy is. Hello? No one pieces this shit together, and no one can bring that complexity together. That's something that's complex that no one has a mind for yet. It's like, what do we even want as a government? Like, we have democracy. What do we even want? It's like, there's an evolution past what we have, people. Let's, like, talk about that.
Yeah, alternatives take such an extreme responsibility, though, because it's like, there's got to be some sort of, like, public institutional framework. Because, like, I mean, especially with something just like a fire department, like, there's been cases in history where there isn't a public fire department and fire protection is just individual home by home fire insurance. And if you don't have the fire insurance, your house doesn't get put out.
That's like, how this first is even started. Yeah, I mean, that's how it first started, and I'm sure it still works that way.
Some places. Yes, some housing associations and certain municipalities still do it. I think I read about a case in California that was, like, somewhere there was homes on, like, some community. I mean, it's historical precedents and modern precedents where only homes that have certain insurance will get saved by the fire insurance. But it's like your neighbor's house that is on fire that isn't saved is still going to affect your house. And it's caused some of the greatest fires of, you know, almost every city. Chicago's had a fire. London's had a fire. There's all sorts of fires when there isn't, like, certain common shared infrastructure. Or, like, a lot of people will say roads would get built just out of, like, commercial interest and corporate interest. And it's like, well, like, we've seen types of stuff like CVS just decide to stop selling tobacco, not in their corporate interest. It was actually costing them billions of dollars. It was in some PR public health interest. So it's like, if they just want to shut down a road going somewhere, some corporation, it's like, there's certain infrastructure that should be public because, like, space. We should do NASA space programs because leaving it to SpaceX or whoever, if they decide, you know what, we're going to keep the IP in a box, like it's some Hollywood script that we're just not going to produce into a movie. We bought the rights, but we're not going to produce it. Like, that's in their private right to do, and humanity will be stunted forever. So it's like, there's certain things that are just like, and you don't get to space without some sort of, I mean, some crazy institutional framework. I guess independent people could do, like, prototyping or something, and there could be some entrepreneurial venture capital network that is just, like, some next-level framework that doesn't require giant institutions, and it could all just be done on individual merit, but that would take such, like, a cavalier spirit of the heart that, I mean, the slave culture just is systematically weeded out of the culture. It's like Bertrand Russell and a bunch of, I mean, that's a whole monster in himself, really. Like, I don't know if you know much about Bertrand Russell.
I would love you to go down to Bertrand Russell.
Dude, he's this hybrid mathematician philosopher that tried to make human thinking a logical system. And around the turn of the 20th century, he and some mathematicians basically convinced everybody that math is like all of human thought can be mathematically, logically understood, that it's all like that it's a limited system, it's a closed system. It's like a whenever you hear the word wheelhouse, have you heard the word wheelhouse in the media? That's used like a slogan nowadays. It's like that mentality. It's not like an open universe mentality. It's like a closed system, nuts and bolts. Everything is logic. All human experience and thought is contained within everything that's already happened. And there's a system to map that out. And we can tell you exactly what people think, why they think it, when they think it. And like, it just leaves absolutely no room for creativity whatsoever. Like how did we get from the Stone Age to modern day? Like, there's certain leaps of, like, analogical thinking that's developed that's, like, it takes a certain level of thought that a computer isn't just gonna come up with. Like a computer may one day end up programming itself, but like it's not gonna invent itself and program itself. You know, it's like there's something about human thinking and creativity that can't be minimized down into logical system. I mean, all rational thought can be logical, but like not all thought and not all creativity comes from a rational space.
No, I think Roger Penrose is a great physicist and mathematician, has been one of the great arguers in that camp, that it's the mind cannot be defined by what is both highly complex and beyond most mere mortals, all this abstract math and computer logic and so on.
Yeah.
But it is closed, and it's self-referential, and it doesn't encapsulate everything. I'm sorry, I don't think so. It's like, this is our experience. We've been talking this whole time about how fucked humans are. So I think at some point in this conversation, we can talk about how special we are. And this is a point in the road where I just say we're fucking special. And I don't think we're replaceable. And maybe if I wake up, you know, in another dream world and I'm a robot, I won't even know that I was a human. And yeah, that body will be just fine and it won't fucking matter. And that could happen. I'm open to that possibility. But for now, it's like, I'm worried about evolving human thinking and not building something else to throw ourselves into. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I also see the benefit of it. It's like, Misty and I talk about artificial intelligence quite a bit. It's certainly on her mind, as you might imagine, with her transformer fetish. But yeah. At the same time, she takes, you know, the idea of evolution and like what we're moving towards, like our technology is part of us and a representative of us. So it's like, how are we moving with our technology and our tools and, you know, the magician's tools that we're playing with nowadays, and like, what are we moving into? We want to be moving into something better. And it's like, you know, what is it? Maybe part of it is like synthesizing ourselves with technology in a more productive way, like turning it on its head. Because yes, a lot of the stuff that keeps us down could also be used to pick us up and build amazing things, and everything from infrastructure to whatever. It's like to personal things. It's just like, it's a matter of access. And right now, access doesn't fucking exist. And yeah. So I'd be a lot more comfortable with like human development, and it would be a lot less dystopian to me, and I'd feel a lot less need to speak up against it, because it is so creative, and it's art. Artificial intelligence as an enterprise is beautiful art, but it's also tied closely into the military-industrial complex, and things aren't pure. But if we were in a pure world, it would be a great endeavor, and maybe it would be a part of our evolution. So I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. And
totally.
I don't disrespect anyone else's like view on that per se, but it's like, it's complex, and I know I'm up and down on it.
Yeah, no, you're totally right on that. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, in the long view of it, even if this iteration, we don't use technology, right? It's like, whatever life is, it's like, technology isn't bad inherently, and it will be utilized at some point to actually, you know, reap the kind of resources and, you know, just the information resources that are out there. Like, we don't see, like, even a small fraction of a percentage of what is out there. Like, we see, like, very, very tiny spectrum of the universe.
And we don't even know what we're seeing. We have ideas about why we're seeing things. Like, yeah, oh, it's gravitational lensing. Oh, it's this. Who the fuck knows? I mean, that works to model it. But we don't really know that's happening.
We have no idea, man.
I mean, it's, yes, look, I don't want to say be a complete relativist and say, like, everything is up for grabs, but, like, when you do realize that you're focusing on something very small, you do realize you're only getting a piece of the puzzle. And, like, yeah, those pieces do probably add up usually to something more coherent than if you're just cherry-picking really random ideas, but it's still going to be wrong. At the end of the day, it's still going to be wrong. So you have to respect the wrongness of even the most right idea.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's way too much pride holding on to convention, and there's too much hero worship about things that have been done before. It's like the cult of personality is so bad.
It's like Richard Dawkins or these other characters who are maybe once did serious work and are now caricatures, and they just keep repeating the same sort of mantras. It even happens in magic. Certain people represented creativity, but for a large part, it's just like the socialite club that has kept evolving into just sort of like this superficial thing that I don't know what they do as far as ritual goes, but it's like fucking church. It's like people putting out a church pamphlet and talking about their faith. It's like fucking dumb. It's not what magic is, man. It's not what it is. It's like the spontaneity. It's life. It's living life. That's what being a magician is. It's like the art of living. It's not putting on a robe. It's putting on a robe and just living your, and going out on the street. It's like what Misty Greer does. She just goes out and she fucking like lives as a magical person. She doesn't need to go to fucking church to do it.
Yeah, it's because that's so true, man. Life is the magic. Magic, you gotta live like, you know, it's a sleight of hand to transform your paradigm into like to take what isn't the future yet and to be like, that's gonna happen, and then to make it happen so it actually exists in the present state. Because unless you take it upon yourself to be like, okay, you know what? I'm going to invest all the time to manifest this one idea and work. Unless you work all that time and get whatever the final product is, you're never going to have it. And you're always going to be at some present moment being like, damn, I wish I had a body of work. And it's like, well, every single day you got to work and then you'll have a body of work. But you can't. Like, I mean, I'm stuck in it. I'm real bad with that. It's like I'm idealistic to the maximum, and it's like, well, I can't see the perfect state, so the perfect state isn't worth working towards, so I'll never achieve that state. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's like, it's sickening. It's sickening, and there are, like, legitimate impediments to achieving it and, like, endeavoring towards it, but, like, I mean, the magic is the actual living, to have the courage to, like, to know what's in your best interest and to follow it. It takes a humility because it's like, hey, my best interest isn't your best interest. I'm just doing my thing. And some authoritarian fuck might come around, like, you know, try to belittle you or try to make you feel like you should be doing something else. But it's like, to know, like, no, you know, I'm me. I'm doing my thing. I'm living my life. It's like, at the end of the day, you may have a life that's worth, like, telling stories about. And it's like, that's what I hope we're doing. Because, I mean, at least for the last 5 years of listening to this program, it's like, you know, kicking around an alley, like, thinking about, you know, all sorts of, all this content. It's like, I don't know what's happening, definitely, like, for sure where this is going. But it's definitely, over time, accumulated into a mass that if a person was to take it upon themselves and go and follow that same trail and decide to have, you know, your experience, our experience in doing, like, what has been going on for the past 5 years, it's like, what, you know, just listening, trying to contribute, however they want to do it, it's like, it's gonna have, like, a massive positive transformative effect. And it's like, I don't know, it's been indispensable for me, so it's like, listening and contributing in any way that I can is, like, what I try to do, but, like, staying focused, I don't know, I lost my exact train of thought.
No, it's, you're just talking about building culture, and that's, like, what building we're trying culture. To do. Yeah.
Living magically, that's it. Magically.
And that is culture. Magic is a culture, and, like, it's a spirit, and it's a philosophy, and it's more than just what its stereotypes are.
Yeah, Disney does not have a monopoly on what magic is.
And neither does the most academic occultist who thinks that there's been a book written on it.
Exactly.
And there have been books written on it, and they help. But when you distill them down, they always say the same thing, and that's, like, just be an artist. Life is art. Life is magic. These things all add up to it is a mega ritual. You can do these little microcosmic ones if you want, but it's like the magic is in the living. It's not in the whatever.
Yeah, it's like nothing has a monopoly on it. There's no, like, answer. Like, nobody's got the answer. It's like, listen to it, like, you know, because a lot of people are, like, repulsed by things, like, oh, I don't want to fall into that trap. It's like, no, listen to it for a while. See what the trap is. Get familiar with the trap. It's like, there's certain things that are, like, ignorance is one of our biggest problems as, like, a society. Like, we just won't look at something that's, you know, necessary to be dealt with. And it's, I don't know.
Well, before we go, I just want to say that, like, your artwork, it always reminds me, especially now, of space and time. So it's awesome that you are interested in those things, of course. And you do origami because I see that the space-time manifold is modeled as an origami sheet. It's like, that's what we are, our particles, the molecules that make up our bodies. It's like they're these perfectly synchronized little origami clumps. They're very fuzzy, but we don't quite know, but it's a great, great way to think about it. It's just like the universe folding in and folding out and folding into these complex shapes. And it's ever-evolving, and what's moving it, we don't know. Maybe it's the hand of God. Maybe it's just the dynamics of the system. That's what I've decided. That's all it is. I don't know where that comes from, but it's the dynamics of the system. And so it's like built into your very spirit, and I see you embody that. Like when we were at Olympia, you were smiling when you were doing your work. You know?
Yeah.
It like showed me something about a relationship to what you do.
It's cathartic, man. There's something repetitive to it, and, you know, predetermined. Like, it's really mechanical. It's not anything that I have to, like, think spontaneously to do. It's like, I can kind of, it puts me into, like, almost like a trance and a rhythm, and a finished product comes out that's precise, so it's evident that, like, there was precision. It's not just, like, an undisciplined trance. Mm-hmm. So it's a weird state I get in when I start doing it, and I like doing it. So I'm glad you like it, because, I mean, I just want to make them available to people and, like, hook people up and share them with people. And, like, if people want to buy them, they can get them from my Etsy shop. I mean, you know, you can just link it. You can link my link my brother's lighter cases shop, too.
Sure. Oh, I have some of those lighters, the lighter cases, which you brought to Olympia, and the shape of Jaws. They're just like amazing. They're so amazing. You come from, so yes, you're a talented stock, and you know, you each do your own thing. It's amazing.
Yeah, we just try to stay crafty, and we love bumping into other people that do their thing in whatever discipline it comes in. It's just like, have something to do and get into something that's like interesting and intricate and complex. Like, I mean, everybody listening to this show knows it's like, Anybody coming to this thinking that I'm talking to them, like, you know, chastising them or something, that's not the issue. It's like, no, I appreciate the compliments, but it should be broader. I see it all over the place, but it should be, like, so inherent to humanity. It's like, oh, what kind of phone do you have? It should be like, oh, what do you do? And somebody should have something, whether they're into a certain discipline that they can, like, kind of give you a little lecture on, or whether they actually create something or can fix your house or your car, please. I mean, somebody that can, like, have practical skills, you know, like, like, we need people that do things like that. It's just, I don't know. And hopefully the work, mine or my brother's work or whatever, is just like a reminder. It's a lighthearted, cool way to remind yourself of universal principles and symmetries and conversation pieces, and it's something to talk about other than just the weather. Like, oh damn, that's pretty cool, or, you know, something that's ambient, just, you know, decorative. Sometimes I feel like, but because you prefaced it and said it's like chemistry and the nature of, like, biology, and it's like I feel like folding the paper is like a waste of time sometimes, because it's like there are those higher things, and I intuit it while I do it. It's like, I have a feeling that this has some sort of plasma physics implications, or, you know, some sort of scientific implication that I'm not, like, fully appreciating.
Well, you're looking at God. If it is all dynamics, I mean, like, your things are portrayed, they're idols. And they are, like, of course, they're limited. They're not everything, but it's like they're representing something fundamental that's in us, and it's like you're a vessel for it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you taking some time and chatting tonight. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, for sure, John. Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast from Syncbook Radio. If you enjoyed this episode, there's so much more content waiting for you at thesyncbook.com. Our newest episodes are always free, and members get access to our full archive of over 600 hours. You'll find all of this, as well as our books and videos, at thesyncbook.com.